At least a third of the 200,000 contracted employees in Iraq and Afghanistan work for subcontractors, as we mentioned at the top of the hour. But that might mean that the government doesn't really have any direct oversight into who they are or what they're doing. Should we be worried about this, and how do we fix it? The Commission on Wartime Contracting in Iraq and Afghanistan held a hearing on this very issue just yesterday. Here to fill us in on that discussion is the Commission's co-chairman, Mike Tebow. Mr. Tebow, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Amy and Tom.
Let's get an update on the hearing. The general outcome of the hearing yesterday.
The general outcome was, just as you said, every witness talk to a lack of oversight on the part of the prime contractors towards the subcontractors. Even some of the primes talked about the difficulty in obtaining the kind of data they need in order to provide needed oversight.
And I'm trying to find why this is, because ordinarily the biggest complaints that subcontractors have in domestic contracting is that the primes are deep in their knickers looking at every detail they possibly can.
A big part of the discussion was about foreign subcontractors, and they're a very substantial multi-billion dollar portion of it, and the foreign subcontractors are very reluctant to provide the kind of access needed, and the prime contractors are saying, one, it's difficult, and two, they don't obtain and receive data in the format that is typical for what you'd find in contracting CONUS or the United States.
And are these contractors, the subcontractors rather, I guess they're safe to say they're not Western European-style companies or Western companies that have the degree of reporting detail and accounting standards that we encounter in the United States and Western Europe. Are these places from Iraq and Afghanistan mostly that are just kind of mom and pop?
I think there's some very large, multi-million dollar...
Yeah, you said that, yeah.
...$50 and $100 million contractors with... You know, and that's the debate. They have pretty sophisticated systems, but the problems run a little deeper. And I might use one example that was sort of a revelation to the commission that we're going to follow up on a topic that you might not think of related to subcontracting, and that's trafficking. And that was probably, other than the fact that Pat Fitzgerald indicated he's now up to $21 billion. In question and unsupported costs where he's taken exceptions out of some $97 billion in contract awards, that is just unprecedented in terms of percentage. But the trafficking examples, and there were several examples, we're talking about individuals that were hired from foreign countries in order to come into Iraq, but were told they were going to be working in places like Dubai and Kuwait. And when they showed up, they were flown into Iraq,
Sounds like a bad vacation plan.
Well, you know, you're right, it's a bad vacation plan. And then they hang on to the passports. They make threats. They've charged them a fee, and they don't have a way to pay back the fee. So these individuals are compelled to go forward and work for a year where they didn't sign up for.
Excuse me, let me interrupt. What do you mean they make threats?
They basically tell them that they don't have the money and they'll take actions against them. They take their passport and they hold their passport and they tell them, hey, we're going to cut you loose. You don't have a passport. There were several examples. One of the big subcontractors is a Kuwaiti, a very large subcontractor for KBR. The first Kuwaiti had several examples, and the KBR executive that was testifying basically said, I'll get back to you. We don't do business anymore with First Kuwaiti, which every indication is these subcontractors are taking advantage of the hiring of foreign nationals and you know, trafficking, abuse, and the like. This is a subject that the commission is not probably. We will focus on very – it's worthy of a hearing by itself.
It sounds to me like you're describing slave trade.
It sounds like human trafficking.
Well, it is human trafficking, and the interesting tie-in to subcontracting – is the prime contractors don't do this. The prime contractors are large international typical firms that have very strong ethical and statutory controls. But they hire both first tier and then lower tier subcontractors who don't have the same standards. And they're out there to fill slots of people that can do basic jobs like food service and logistical support. And they find qualified individuals and tell them, hey, we'll give you a job in Dubai. And they say, great, I didn't want to go to Iraq. And they end up in Iraq.
So whose responsibility is it for the oversight of these subcontractors, first tier and lower?
It's the prime contractor, and your point is spot on. But it's also the government to look at the prime contractor. And we ask every one of those contractors who in the government has come in recently and evaluated your oversight of the subcontractors as far as trafficking, and who gives you feedback. And the answer from every one of them was no one, and we don't know. So they don't even know who in the government is responsible to be sure they're complying with contract terms with their subcontractors. This is a major miss.
It kind of kills my next question, which was, how do we fix this? We don't even know where to begin, it sounds.
And, again, that's why the commission, you know, I perked up and, you know, I guess I'm supposed to know a lot, but I hadn't heard these examples. They were brought up by another one of our commissioners, Grant Green, on information he'd obtained. And I'm just going to myself, wow, this is so critical. Because the credibility of the entire process internationally about using subcontractors and foreign workers comes into play.
Yes, so we're talking with Mike Thibault, the co-chairman of the Commission on Wartime Contracting in Iraq and Afghanistan. I can sense from your voice that, I mean, you've seen a lot in your career, that this is shocking to you.
Yes, it is. This is something that should not occur. It shouldn't occur ever. If it occurs once, it should be publicized in a manner that it doesn't occur again. But if you've got, and that's one of the issues here, if you've got 30 to 50%, $6 to $10 billion, or excuse me, 30 to $50 billion of the awarded contract values that are subcontracts, it's a question of you need controls, and it's the critical part. They're all labor intensive. That's where the costs are, is labor. So it's disclosed an area that's just critical that we get on top of it and publicize the problems and publicize the lack of oversight and expectation by the government. Like we were talking, I don't know if it's Department of Labor for that has requirement. I don't know if it's Department of Commerce. Certainly those organizations overseeing the contract, state and defense, have a responsibility. But where it flows up through the executive branch, I would just be speculating with you, but a week from now I won't be speculating with you because we're going to drill down into it.
That was my very next question about what is going to be coming up beyond this, because I have a feeling you've taken the bit in your teeth and you're not going to let this go.
No, absolutely. There is a, you know, first of all, we're contracting. We're commissioned to look at recommendations to improve processes. We have very specific congressional mandate for waste, abuse, illegalities. There are specific laws, statutory laws, that say you don't traffic in this manner.
And I guess it pays for the federal government to get on top of this right away, because in a sense, it's almost like a new version of Abu Ghraib, because we have companies that we're paying and hiring. It's not the same as our own troops, but we're paying companies to hire people that are engaging in human trafficking, and that could be big problems for the allied effort as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I always use the test, how'd you like to be that person in whatever country that says, you know, that's a poor country that says, hey, I finally got a job, $500 a month, and they would tell your wife, and I'm going to be safe, and I'm going to go to work in Dubai, and they said they'd take care of me, and, you know, the family's going to be great. And then you find out they take your passport. They threaten you that the money that they advance to you, you won't be able to pay back, and you'll be in arrears. And then they send you to Iraq in an area that you didn't sign up for. Something's wrong.
When we've been talking about this, we haven't really gotten into specifics, but you've talked about subcontractors first tier and lower. Do you find in your research and from what you heard yesterday that these are same subcontractors over and over, that the same names keep popping up, or is this very widespread?
I think it's widespread. There were a couple companies, one of them, First Kuwaiti, that is no longer in business. At least KBR said they don't think they do business with First Kuwaiti anymore. And the other company, they said they may have a few contracts. And the question was raised, why do you? And, well, we'll get back to you. I want to give them, you know, an opportunity to take a look at this, but there just is not the oversight. And a big part of where the commission's interest lies is changing the law so that the government has access in manners contractually that they don't now to subcontractors, so that we can go in and verify certain areas such as this on our own. And we're being met with resistance by prime contractors that say, well, you know, contractually we really need to be the ones doing this. And we ask the question, well, fine, but why shouldn't we also have the access since we're footing the bill and since you're our contractor? And the answer that comes back is, well, we'll do the job.
And so, you know, that's a we'll see, I guess. But my question was, when is it your sense that if they were to know about this on their own, would they terminate those contracts on their own? I'm speaking about the idea of human trafficking. If they know their contractor, their subs are doing it, will they terminate those subs? Is that your sense?
That's one of those $49 questions. They should. You and I could logically say that. I think they would get up and say the same thing. Have they and would they? I think bears investigation. It's just that simple, because this is one of those areas where I couldn't accept an answer at face value. I think I'd like to see someone investigate this. It might be the investigative organizations for the agencies, such as the state IG or the DOD IG. I mean, it's that significant. But it's timely, too. It can't be one of these two-year extensive reviews, because if it's happening now, it needs to be calibrated right now.
And very briefly, only about 30 seconds left, just turning it all the way back around, one of the things you said was, you know, that you asked KBR if they continue to do business with this other subcontractor, and they didn't know. And that still boggles my mind a little bit, that they don't know exactly who they're doing business with. Is that unusual? Am I being unfair in my assessment there?
That's not one I'm going to jump on, primarily, Amy, because... And I'll be the last one that people would expect to say something good about a contractor, but I do. KBR's made significant strides, so I would hope they would be all over it. I am disappointed that their top acquisition executive wasn't on top of trafficking and subcontracting matters. So, again, they've made significant strides in their subcontract oversight, no question about it. And you know, the real question is, have they come far enough? And I think we're going to find out.